All right. Thank you, guys. That's Clayton and our very own Mandy. Very good. That was beautiful. And I hope everybody's doing great this morning. As we get started, we think again, we're in this series on prayer. And prayer in its simplest form is talking to God, okay? It's communication of the human soul with the God who created our soul. And true and deep relationship with God is the heart of prayer. That's the main point of prayer, is to have true relationship with God. Now, no matter how many weeks or years that you've been praying, there is always room for us to grow and learn more how to connect with God through prayer. And if it's our desire to do that, I have some great news. We have a teacher who specializes in teaching us how to pray. And that teacher was given to us by God himself, and it's the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to start by talking about the Holy Spirit, because understanding the Holy Spirit and his ministry is essential to us having any type of power in our prayer life. So we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, how do we receive him, how is the receiving or the indwelling of him different than the filling of the Spirit, and how does that help us in prayer? So we're going to start with this. Who is the Holy Spirit? Okay, this is a simple question, but it can be complicated because if you think about who the Holy Spirit is in your mind, it can feel kind of supernatural, crazy, like I'm not really sure how to get my head around that. But Scripture tells us very clearly that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, Jesus, and then we have the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. He doesn't look like a person. He doesn't have the form that we have. Yet, just like the Father and Son, he has characteristics of personhood, okay? So the Holy Spirit has knowledge and intellect. The Holy Spirit has a will. The Holy Spirit has emotions. We read in Scripture that we can grieve the Spirit. He has emotions. And he's one nature and character and identity with the Father and Son. He therefore is God. Now he has specific roles to play. So just as the Father and the Son have identifiable roles, so does the Holy Spirit. Now he was present from eternity past, and his unique roles in history include, but aren't limited to, some of these that I'm going to mention. So the Holy Spirit is in charge of indwelling the hearts of believers. That's his job. He indwells the hearts of believers, and we'll talk about what that means. He helps the believer to understand and apply Scripture to daily life. The Holy Spirit enriches our prayer life, and he intercedes for us in prayer. A few other things: he causes a believer to act, he convicts us of sin. He produces qualities of character like the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He produces those things in us. He brings to our mind, he helps us remember the Word of God. If you've ever been in a situation and you all of a sudden the Word of God pops in your head and you have the thing to say, or you have the thing that you know your heart needs, that's the Holy Spirit. And he comforts and guides and leads us. And that's just a few of his many, many roles, but those are the ones we're going to kind of focus on today. And so we're going to take a minute, and I'm going to just tell you a little bit of history. In the Old Testament times, so we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. The Old Testament all occurred before the birth of Christ, and the New Testament is going to be focusing on Christ and his disciples and so forth. And so both the Old and New Testament point to Jesus, one going forward and the other one pointing back. So they point to Jesus. But in the Old Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit was present and active. We see in Genesis 1, it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." First sentence of the Bible. "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So the very first sentence of the Bible tells us that the Spirit has a very active role in creation along with the Father and the Son. Now, in the Old Testament times, people were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a part. You can see it in some of the people. But when he would come in the Old Testament times, he would come with either a purpose or just for a short period of time or maybe an extended period of time. But he could depart from that person. He could leave that person. He was not permanently a part of that person. You see it in King Saul. In 1 Samuel, he says that after David was made king, the Spirit departed from Saul. So you see, the Holy Spirit was departed. Also, we see this, knowing this, David saw this happen and or knew that it happened. In Psalm 51, David says to the Lord, "Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." So during that time, the Holy Spirit was certainly not guaranteed. But now we're going to fast forward to the New Testament, and I'm going to use the whiteboard. I hope that y'all can see this, because I think it might help just a little bit to have a little bit of a picture of this. Okay, can y'all see that? Yes? What about? Light. Oh, push it in the light. Okay. Light is good. Ah, is that good? Okay, well, then I'm going to move out of y'all's way. Okay. Okay. So we see here Jesus was born. So we're in the New Testament now, okay? So we're starting, Jesus was born. He lived, and he began his public ministry at age 30, okay? So he started his public ministry at age 30. We know very little about his growing up years. We know about him when he was 12 in the temple. But his public ministry starts when he's 30, okay? And for the next 3 years, we see him as a teacher, a discipler, and he performed all kinds of miracles. And many came to know God the Father through him. But we also know that others hated him. They hated Jesus, and they wanted to kill Jesus. And at age 33, we can see that Jesus was crucified. He died. He was buried. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave. So we're pretty familiar with that, the death, the resurrection, and all of that. Now we get to the point when he rose from the grave, he actually stayed on the earth for 40 days. And he made himself known to over 500 people. So he was saying, "I am alive." He ate with his disciples. And he's telling them that he was indeed alive. But he is about to ascend back to the Father, okay? And so the disciples really loved Jesus. They were so thankful that he had rose from the grave, and they didn't want him to leave again. But prior to his leaving, he told his disciples this. This is what Jesus said to his disciples to comfort them. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." And I wrote on my hand from the song, "You're my help forever." We sang that today. He will be your help forever, the Spirit of truth. The Word cannot accept him because he neither sees him or knows him, but you know him because he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now in this, Jesus is describing the Spirit, and the word that he uses in the original language is paraclete, and what that translates to is he who is called to one side. He's a helper, okay? And the craziest thing is that Jesus says it's going to be better for him to be with you, because Jesus, you know, would be in different locations, but this Holy Spirit is going to be with you permanently. So what he does at this point, he tells his disciples, he says, "Now you stay and wait for this Holy Spirit." So he's walked on the earth for 40 days. So he tells them to wait. He ascends back into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, fully alive. That's why we know we worship a living God. And he told the disciples to wait for this helper. So the disciples obey Jesus. They went back to Jerusalem and they waited. And for 10 days, they waited for this advocate to come. And the first time the Holy Spirit, now it's going to be on day, so this is where I don't want it to get confusing, but he walked on the earth for 40 days. He told them to go wait. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit is actually going to come. If you notice, that would be 50 days from the time he rose from the grave. Okay, he rose from the grave, 40 days on the earth, 10 days waiting on the Spirit, 50 days. And so this is Pentecost. And Pentecost is the Greek word for 50. And so after on that 50th day, Pentecost happens, and it's recorded in Acts 2, 1 through 4. This is when the Holy Spirit comes to the people. It says this in Scripture, when the day of Pentecost came, they, being the disciples and others who believed and followed Jesus, were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, Pentecost was a most amazing day, because this is the day that God's children were given a permanent gift of the Spirit of God in them. So let's let that sink in for just a minute, okay? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God, maker and creator of all, the same Spirit that was with Jesus Christ when he was on the earth and is with him even now, that Spirit lives in us as believers. Just think on that for a minute. Wow. So my question would be, how in the world do I get that Holy Spirit? I want some of that, right? So the first thing I just want to say, how do you get the Holy Spirit? And this is so important. In order to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior, okay? This, again, is just recognizing that we have sin that separates us from our Holy Father, and we can really do nothing. We have no ability to bridge that gap. Our good deeds, going to church, that does not bridge the gap between us and God due to sin. And it's only through the deep abiding love of Jesus, where he paid for our sins with his own life on the cross. I call it the great exchange. He took on our sin. He gave us his righteousness. He was punished for our sin. And it comes now that we have to believe that we need him as a Savior, and then we have to receive the gift of his life as a payment for mine. That's the first thing. You can't experience the Holy Spirit if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. And if any of you are having questions about that and you want to know, well, maybe I'm not, you know, talk to your leaders, because this is obviously something that's going to be extremely impactful. And so talk to your leader about that, and we can help you understand more and walk you through that. But when you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, okay, many wonderful things happen. Like the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They're throwing a big party. This is a big deal. We just threw a party for Tom, who just became an American citizen, you know, and that's really great. Woo, we're so excited about that. But that's nothing compared to what's happening in heaven when someone becomes a believer. I mean, there is a huge celebration because they've been brought into the family of God. So just a few things that happen. You become a full-fledged member of the family of God when you receive Jesus as your Savior. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life with God from that point on. And it's in that moment that you receive Jesus that you're given the Holy Spirit to live in you forever. So the moment of salvation is when the Holy Spirit indwells you. And so this is called the indwelling. And we have the power of God available to us once this occurs. So let's just talk about the indwelling for a minute. The indwelling is immediate at the moment of salvation. It's permanent. You can't lose it. It's a one-time occurrence. It happens at salvation. Doesn't have to happen again. You already have the Spirit. It's given to you complete. There's nothing you can do to improve upon it. And it's our guarantee that we belong to God, okay? Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 says this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Isn't that beautiful? When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are sealed. We are sealed, and it's our guarantee that we are going to be with God forever. 2 Corinthians says this, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." So he's our guarantee of what's to come. Now the indwelling is from God wholly and completely. Okay, so again, we're talking about the indwelling now. We talked about those characteristics, and it is wholly and completely done by God. But as a believer, I know the Spirit of God lives in me. And I don't know about you, but I don't always experience his power. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, because here's the thing. We have a part to play in this too. The indwelling is fully God, but this filling that we're going to talk about next is going to be our responsibility. So let's look at how the filling works. The filling of the Spirit is our active, self-motivated choice. It is fully our responsibility. We can lose this one. We can quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit. And we must ask for this daily, hourly, sometimes moment by moment, in order to live with God's power. So we have the indwelling that God does, you can't lose it, and then you have this daily filling that is our responsibility. And so I have a little demonstration. I feel like we have a science project or something here. Let me see if I can get this out without making a huge mess. Okay, can y'all see that? I'll hold it up in just a minute. Okay, so these two glasses represent people, okay? And we're going to say that these two people both have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And at when they received that, this is the Holy Spirit, okay? And so we're going to drop in the Holy Spirit, okay? So this is us as a believer. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We can't lose it. God did that. He's always there, okay? But as you can see, there's not much going on, right? So what we're going to say is that this person woke up in the morning and said, you know what, I'm going to spend time and I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit in. And so this one invites the Holy Spirit in. And something changes. Can you see? Yep. So the Holy Spirit is in both of them, both believers. But when the Holy Spirit is invited to fill us for the day, something happens. And we're changed and we begin that day to be led by the Spirit himself. You see the energy, the movement? Remember when it said he hovered over the waters in Genesis? This is what goes on in our spirit when we invite him. He's already there. He's already there. When you invite him, it's like you have a vacuum cleaner. It's there, but until you plug it in, you don't get the power from it, right? So we have to invite him to come in and to energize our lives. So once that power is activated, we have to be mindful now who's in charge. We're going to have to follow his lead and let him guide us, comfort us, and develop our character, and yield his will to yours. And I wish we had more time to talk about this, but you're going to talk about it in small groups a little bit. But there'll be many opportunities in your day where you come to a place and you'll need to pause and decide, am I going to do what I would like to do, or am I going to do what God would prefer me to do? And this Holy Spirit in you that's activated, it will be the one who helps push you towards God's will. And God's will is always better. It's always harder to choose because it goes against our nature. It's always, always better. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to just talk about just a practical way. So like when we wake up in the morning, we're going to be full of ourselves, right? Because that's just normal. It's expected. We're human, and that's the condition we wake up in. And but if we stay there, it's going to be a day of fulfilling our natural desires and making decisions that work for best for me. So again, you kind of at that little Y in the road, that crossroad, and you come to a place where you have to decide what you're going to do. Now, in the condition we're in when we wake up in the morning, we're certain to make decisions based on what we desire, okay? But in that condition, we also are going to be the master as opposed to serving the master, okay? And so God has given us this ability to choose. And so we have to start by kind of emptying out. So there's a couple of things that to do. And I use this, but there are other ways that I kind of interact with the Spirit too. But I start my morning with, God, I am full of self. And I'm going to start by emptying myself. And that always starts with, for me, confession. And Psalm 38 says, I confess my iniquity, I am troubled by my sin. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the first thing I do is I confess all my known sin. And then I'll ask him, no, there's tons of sins that I'm not even aware of. Will you bring those to mind, please, so that I can confess those as well? And then the next part that I have to do is to empty myself of worries, concerns, stresses, fears. And sometimes that takes me a bit, you know. You know, these are the things going on, Lord. I want to get these out because they all kind of quench my interaction with God if I'm worried or concerned about those. And so then once you're emptied through confession and just concerns, it's time to ask for the filling. And it's really simple. You just ask the Holy Spirit, fill me today. It's a simple invitation. In John 7:38, it says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow through them. And that living water is the Holy Spirit. So I spend time and I breathe in deeply and I imagine this fresh, pure water that is the Spirit of God flowing through me, reaching every nook and cranny in my body. Bill Bright, who's the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, that's now called CRU, suggested just a simple prayer. His little prayer was this: by faith, I invite you to fill me with the Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled. You promised to fill me if I ask according to your will. I pray this in the authority of Jesus Christ. Just a simple invitation. Now, once the Spirit has officially been invited to your day, he is now accessible to you. His power, his direction, his comfort, his guiding, it's all available to you. You just have to pause again and remember and listen to his leading. So, Holy Spirit, extremely important part of our spiritual life and our prayer life. So, as believers, we have the Spirit indwelling us, and we've asked him to fill us today. And now we want him to help us align our will to his. So now we're going to kind of move toward how this prayer thing. How does the Holy Spirit help us in prayer? And Scripture tells us this, that we are told to pray in the Spirit. Again, pray with the assistance of the one who has been sent to your side to help. Ephesians 6 said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Jude 20 says, dear friends, build yourself up in the most holy faith and pray in the Spirit. So the Spirit, how does it help us pray? 1 Corinthians says this, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. God has revealed to us through the Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So through the Holy Spirit, we have continual access to the heart of God, the very presence of God. So think about this. In the Old Testament, we see with Adam and Eve, God walked with them in the garden. He was present with them in the garden. We later see his presence in the temple. And then in the New Testament, we have Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, who walked the earth. He was present with his people. And now the Holy Spirit is in us. The presence of God remains one of the main goals of his heart is to stay connected with us through his presence. And the crazy thing is that Jesus even said, this Holy Spirit, it's better for you to have this Holy Spirit than even when I'm walking with you. Because you have that Holy Spirit wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is. Jesus might be somewhere else, but you have that Holy Spirit with you all the time. Now, the Spirit searches the depths of God, and he longs to reveal to us his ways. He can show us how to love and follow God in a world that's opposed to him. He wants us to have the desire to align our hearts to him. Nook Tuttle and Catherine Mack say this a lot. They'll say, give me the desire, God, to desire you. Ever feel that way? Lord, just give me the desire to desire you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us that desire. Now, in order for that to happen, to be filled with the Spirit every day, we have to pray through the Word of God. And so here's an important part. You know, you take prayer and you take the Word of God, you put them together and you have just something dynamite, okay? You know that you're praying the will of God if you're praying through the Bible because that's His Word. And I have some news for you. This may be surprising, and I hope it's not, but it may be. As nice as it is to have a teacher or a pastor, do you realize that you don't have to have a teacher or pastor to engage God in His Word and to understand it? This Holy Spirit says that He will teach us how Scripture applies to our life, and He's going to guide us in this truth. So Scripture must always be read under the influence of the Spirit in order to get the fullness of it. Now, our church has a group of people who pray every Sunday from 9 to 10 o'clock in the bride's room here, and they're praying for our church and our service and our people and anything the Spirit leads. And so I asked my friend Terry, who kind of leads this group, if I could join her this week as I'm preparing for this, because she always tells me stories about how the Spirit leads in this prayer. And I was like, I want to be a part of that. I want to see what that's like. And so I went to it, and it was amazing. But I asked her, I said, how do you know that the Spirit is moving? I mean, like, how do you know? And she said this. She said, we come into prayer, confessed up. I love that. And we invite Him into our time. So confessed up and invite Him into our time. She said, we listen for Him as we pray to hear what He wants us to pray for. The Spirit will bring to mind a topic, and we'll stay on that topic until He naturally moves us to another. And during our prayer time, He always leads us to a particular scripture that we open the Bible and we pray together. She said it works the same in an individual's life as well. So I loved it. Confessed up and invite Him. And then she says this, you have to believe what God says about the Spirit. When you are confessed up, when you invite Him in, He will come alongside you and lead you. He will. That's what God has said. You may not feel it, because that's what she was afraid. She goes, Kathy, you may not feel like this something here, but you believe that the Holy Spirit is indeed doing what He was made to do and what His job is in our lives right now. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And always acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. So it's really important that we get to an understanding and a belief that even if I don't feel anything different, I believe by faith, Holy Spirit, you are leading and guiding. So the Holy Spirit in us is the gateway to the heart of God. And there's a multitude of treasures there. And today in small group, what you're going to do is you're going to have time to kind of pray through Scripture and invite the Holy Spirit into this. And if we know that He is going to respond to our prayers according to His will, we can believe that as we move forward. I want to share with you just briefly how praying God's word impacted my life, and then we'll break off in groups. Basically, I have had a life that I was very fearful for a long period of time in my life, for years. And it wasn't, when I say fearful, it wasn't like a healthy response when something happens and God gives you this fear response so that you save your child from the street. No, it was a lingering, scared, I'm always afraid I'm going to lose somebody I love fear that robbed me of joy and peace. And I found myself always making the safest decisions, not what God would have me do, or not actually even what I wanted to do, but what was the safest way to go. And it really wasn't a great way to spend life. I was imprisoned to it. There were two breakthrough scriptures. The first was Ephesians that Nook shared with us last week as she and Carrie had a conversation. And the first thing, it just reminds you of what she said last week, that the Apostle Paul tells us to protect ourselves with the protective shield, the breastplate that guards the heart, the helmet that guards the mind, the foot gear. And Nook also said there's only one offensive weapon. Those are all defensive, protective. There's only one weapon that you fight with, and that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so I thought, I'm going to give this a try, right? And so the weapon that I chose was Philippians 4, 6 through 9. That was my weapon of choice. And I began to pray that prayer. I began to put in my own concerns and worries and add my name in. And through time, the Holy Spirit began to change my heart to faith instead of fear, trusting God instead of the what-ifs in the world. And the thing that I noticed was, as I began to fight this, there were times it was really hard, and I was like, ooh, is this a good fight to be in? But I realized when I read back through the Ephesians, do you know, they don't give any provision for the back. Have you ever noticed that? So God does not expect us to turn from battle. He doesn't expect us to run away. He expects us to face the enemy, which was fear for me, and to fight with his word. And so, again, literally, the Holy Spirit, the word of God, and prayer slowly changed my life. Now, I still deal with fear when I'm not confessed up and prayed up. If I haven't had my time with God, I always notice the first thing that pops up is fear, and I'm like, huh. It's a reminder. And so I still pull out the same sword and I still fight in the way I have for years, but I found that the battles don't last as long as they used to because I remember more quickly that the Holy Spirit is with me. He is guiding and leading. And because of this, I believe him and I am able to move forward in that. So today, as we kind of wrap up just with your groups, just the Holy Spirit, prayer, scripture, you put that together and we have something that is so powerful that it could change not only our eternity, think about this, not only forever for us, it can change our day, it can change our mood. Think about that, because each of those moments add up to our days. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll break off into groups, and we will meet again at 11:20 at the cross to close up. So, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your Son Jesus and the work he did to save us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside us as our helper. We thank you that as believers, he is permanent. We can't lose him. But Lord, we do ask you to motivate our hearts to engage the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit in every day, Father, and live from the guidance and power and love that the Holy Spirit provides. Father God, I pray for each of the women here and just the time that they are about to spend in their groups and also just time alone with you. Holy Spirit, speak to them. Give them clarity and help them be aware of your nearness. And Father God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.